Today, I want to share with us from the Gospel of Mark again, and you must have seen the title that is there, Why It Is Important for Christians to Be Together. I think the theme of togetherness, being together, I shared it earlier with the children. And it was coming through the fact that the Lord God today want us to hear about this, why the Christians were made to be together. And if you have been traveling and in your experience, in your life, wherever you go, and then you will think of a church, a body of Christ to join if you are truly a believer. It's something that in your heart. I heard that some people, whenever they go to a new country, the thing that they think of is there a supermarket close by? Is there a bakery? So they butcher maybe or they think about other places, the places where they would want to go first, and maybe some people even they think about even places even we wouldn't want to mention in this place. So but for a Christian, so the priority, the first things in their heart, wherever they go, is to find a body of Christ to belong to. And because we will, as we will see shortly, why it is important that we do that, why it is important that we come together. Well, first of all, because together we are the body of Christ. One person will never be the body of Christ. You are a part of the body, but you are not the body of Christ. So you can never be the body because Jesus Christ himself has designed it like that. He has designed it that way, that he himself, the Lord, he came to make a body. And this body is a body he has chosen himself. And so he shows them to be together. And that is what we read here in the Bible. So because Jesus, he chose us, and he has chosen us as his people. We didn't choose him or came to him, but he did. This is what the Bible says. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. That is John 15, verse 16. Jesus himself, he told his disciples in John 15 that I have chosen you so that you will bear fruit. You will go. You will be my representative. And you know the book of Acts is a transition. Jesus Christ ascending into heaven, and now his work, he finished his earthly work, and now his work is not complete yet, because his disciples, the body that he has made that was going to multiply, this body is going to further the ministry. And then he knew that this body needs to be together to be able to promote the gospel, to be able to turn the world upside down. So Jesus knew this. So, and look now, in the Acts, he revisited again what the Lord has said in John 15 to his disciples. And we read this in verse 2 of chapter 1. This is what the Bible says, verse 2. And actually, I like to read it from the American Standard Version. It's so clear. The first account I compose, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostle whom he had chosen. So it's Jesus Christ who has chosen the disciples, and he has chosen us. If you have ever come to believe in Jesus Christ, this is what Jesus has done. He has called you. He has chosen you to be his follower, and also with others who have been saved. And so this idea was going to run through the epistles. Apostle Peter, many years later, recorded to us in his first epistle. And this is what he said in his letter, first letter, chapter 1, 1 to 2. Peter, calling himself an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who resides as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So the disciples, they emphasize this idea of being chosen. This, it was referring to many people, not one person. And also Paul, in his letter to Titus, he says this, Paul, a bond servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to guidelines. So all the apostles, and so they were just saying exactly what they have seen from their master, that this is a chosen body for a purpose. And this purpose can never be achieved fully unless they understand this foundation. They put this together. And one more reference from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I finish there from that verse. That point, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says this, to the church, Paul writing, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even here, it's not just only the Corinthians who are called and chosen, but every person who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ has been chosen. And so this is what the disciples were trying to share here, and to practice, and also to call us also to know this this truth wonderfully, that this is a chosen body. And this body also is a body with a testimony. It's not just a body that being gathered. Is a body with real message, a message that has really touched us or touched them, you see? So these people, they were not just people who were being gathered also without a message. They were a people who have experienced the love of God. They experienced His change, the change, the transformation that they have gone through. So they have changed, they have their heart changed, and they have embraced the message of the truth from their Lord. They from the first hand. And these people, this body is a body who were with Christ from the very beginning. And they are witnesses, because this is what they are going to do. You remember me saying that many years ago I watched a comedy in Egypt. Who says a witness who hasn't seen anything? You see? So a witness who hasn't seen anything. So just imagine that for you to witness to something you have never seen or not heard of, and that has not touched you, that you have no true recollection of what had taken place. So even the Christian themselves, what is their testimony? That they have met with the risen Savior, that they have been confronted, they were faced with their sins. So they realized that they were going to hell. They realized that they were languishing on their own, even with those sophistications, so they were just going down the hill. You are lonely, you are a sinner, you are under the bondages, until you recognize that there is God. If I turn to Him today, He will save me. And this God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And as you come and turn to Him, you interact with the risen Savior. And the power of His resurrection touches you. And then you are transformed and you are made a Christian. And that is why you are sitting here today. Those who are not Christians, who have no testimony, they cannot be part of a body. They cannot be a church, and they won't understand why on earth people would come out on Sunday, a cold day like this with fog and everything, and pandemic is just raging, and these people would just come and sit there. They didn't know that this is divine work of God. He has gathered for Himself a people. He will have a test. Who will have a testimony? And even in our weakness, in our simplicity, we have been part of the history. The Christian's testimony can never be erased. So no matter what happens in this world, no matter what is happening around us, no matter the secular world is turning against the church and against the body of Christ, they can never prevail, because these people are a people who have been called together, who have been chosen by God, and also have a testimony of a real work of God, a testimony, a message that they can share with others, and then people can repent of their sins, and they can be in tears and they can just return, turn away. After this is what Jesus, when he was with these people, he gathered the disciples and then he was with them. He taught them. He ate with them. He loved them. He shown them. He protected them. Even to the last day when he was being taken to be killed, no one that was hurt among his disciples, and he promised. And they have a testimony. They can say, when he was with us, he protected us. And he has promised us also that he will continue to protect us from his exalted position, from heavens, our most high priest seated on the right hand side of the power. So this is what Luke is telling us in this gospel. He's saying this gospel that the disciples are going to proclaim is a gospel that can never be defeated. And the gospel is going to be powerful because of these two things I have just said. Because these people are not ordinary people. They are people with God's hand on them, and people with a message. Because even Jesus, after his resurrection, he showed himself to his disciples. He showed himself over a period of 40 days, eating with them and giving them further instruction. When they were choosing even a replacement for Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus Christ, also they were looking for a person who had been with them. If I could just briefly go to chapter 1. Of Acts to see what Peter said actually concerning the replacement, concerning the person who was going to be part of the movement, who was going to be an apostle. This is what Peter says in 1:21-22. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time, the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. So they wanted a person with a testimony, with someone who had been there, who have seen everything, who have heard, so that when he goes out as a witness, he will witness to something he has seen and has experienced. So this is so clear, and Peter says also. When he was speaking, he was also speaking among a gathering of about 120 persons who were together. Again, see, they were together and as a body. And also a body that Jesus commanded to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. So this body, Jesus has given them a commandment. He said to them, wait here until you are clothed. That is chapter 1, 4 and 5. So Jesus told them that you have heard me say this. And I like the American Standard, which says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, because the word gathering here is a passive here, and it's sunarkomai. So people who have been brought together by the Lord himself. Verse 4, he commanded them to leave not Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. That is the Holy Spirit. You heard from me. Jesus said that also. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So these are the people God wanted to use. So we see the theme of togetherness is running through the gospel, the book of Acts. So when they had come together, they were asking him, because when Jesus said, wait, and then they came together again. The emphasis here is being together. So now, the first thing I say to us that this is a body chosen by God. Also, we need to know the reason we are to be together is that they strengthen. That is, we strengthen our bond of love by being together. We strengthen our bond of love by being together as a chosen people of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, people with a message. So that is why we needed to be together. Because as we come together, because here, when these people were together, they were interacting. They were sharing good things among themselves. They were sharing the means of life together. They were encouraging one another. This is what chapter 2, verse 44 says. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They take care of one another. You cannot hate someone for whom you are taking care of. It is impossible. And you cannot also compete with someone that you take care of. That would be also impossible. Unless it is fake. Unless it is not real. But as you care for someone, you declare that you have accepted. You accept one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. You will grow in holiness as you interact with one another, as you care for one another. Because love, kindness, and patience sanctify a believer. That is why they were together, because they needed to grow together. They needed to make sure that no one is left behind. Because this person has a testimony, isn't it? Has a testimony to share. This believer is zealous for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has appointed him for this very purpose, because that is what Jesus wants us to do, to be his witnesses in this world. All that he has said to the disciples, that today we read it as being said to us. And it's because Jesus is not using the disciples of the past, he is using the disciples of the present. They have done their job, they have taught us through the Holy Spirit, and we are to take up all that they are giving us even today. Why they were doing these things, why they were being together, they were showing us that this body, that is the nature of the body of Christ. And if the body try to adapt other means to live in this world and to testify, will definitely fail. 100% will definitely fail. A body that does not love one another, the body that is not together, cannot be truly the body of Jesus Christ. And this is what I said last week, that the disciples, when they came together, they didn't pray that the opposition will be removed, but they prayed that they will be enabled, they will be empowered, they will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They will be encouraged. They will be set free. They will be sanctified from jealousies and from judgment and from other distractions. And then they will live only for God, sanctifying God in their hearts and being clear and living a life of integrity. And that is what being together really helps these people. This is where jealousies are dealt with. This is where and when love is produced. You remember what our moderator said last time? He said we create he said we create love by loving. You see, as you love, you see, the love is produced more. As you serve one another, as you care for one another, there is much more love for one another, and the Lord Jesus Christ will also even love us the more. And he will open the gates of heaven and pour out his Holy Spirit and his blessings upon us, and we will be very effective as his body to witness and to win souls and to challenge people gently. And they will be repenting. But if we are not doing that things, we will be pushed further to the margin. Even when we will try to make a return, it will be too hard for us and too late. But I pray that we take seriously the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 of verse 4 to 4, that is what the disciples were doing. They were those who had believed. Just not only everybody, but those who have believed, those who have a testimony, they were together. And also it says day by day, verse 46 of chapter 2, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, with one mind. Just imagine if they are not of one mind. And so if they can give different accounts of the Christian faith, and that will be confusing. No one will come to faith. I think that was in 2018 when I was teaching a short course in Khartoum. I went early in the morning, around 6 a.m. And 6 a.m., the sun is just up. It was so hot, it's hot already. I was sitting next to this person, and we were having a cup of tea together. And he was sharing, he was a Muslim guy. he was going to call me really his son because he got gray hair, and actually he was about my age. He was surprised. So this man, he said he had a Christian friend who shared with him the fact that Jesus is God and also is man. And this man, as he was telling me exactly what this Christian man has said, that I can agree with 100%. I was just so amazed about the testimony of this fellow brother who held fast to the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ. And there was no single word that he has said to this Muslim guy that was not a true doctrine. And that is why the disciple needed to be of one mind, so that their message is one, so that their message is powerful, is not contradicted. So that is why they needed to be together, to be of one mind, so that they can further advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everything that they are going to do later, from chapter 4, 5 onward, will make no sense if they didn't put all these things right from the first chapters. These are foundational, and they lay down the principle of the true movement that was going to change the world. And we also, if we are ever going to change the world and to be an effective witnesses of our Lord, we need to take these things seriously. Thirdly, their being together made them bold. Their being together made them bold, powerful. So I myself alone, I cannot do it. I can only do it when I have a mighty army of brothers and sisters who are praying for me. You can do it when you have a mighty brothers, you have a mighty body of Christ that is praying with you. Then you can be on fire, I guarantee this to you. You can do all that the Lord has asked you to do. And we have seen these apostles, they were emphasizing this later on, that Paul himself asking for prayer requests, asking that pray for me also, that I might be given boldness and also the doors might be opened for me for the gospel of God. So these people, as they come together, they are even made further bold. That is what makes their proclamation so powerful. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. You see, the disciples themselves, when they were told not to share the gospel, they were summoned that they should stop spreading the name of Jesus Christ. If you go to chapter 4, you start from verse 8. So Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he addressed these people. He was not fearful. Peter, who was fearful, but he was asked to wait for the Holy Spirit to come and empower him. And then when he was empowered, and after the day of the Pentecost, as they were also together, this man also, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he confronted these people. He said, "You have killed the Lord Jesus Christ." he said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone." So, and then to declare this with full force, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heavens given to men by which we must be saved. And that was so confronting to the leaders of the temples, and also confronting to the Roman empires, who were idol worshippers, who have their other gods. And then when they saw the courage, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled. Unschooled, that didn't mean that they didn't know how to read and write, but probably they didn't have training, theological training. But they were ordinary men. But they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Had been with Jesus. These people together, they were there with their master. And these people, they proclaim boldly the gospel, because it's a people who have come to recognize that they are a body, and then the Lord Jesus Christ himself he's pleased to pour out his Holy Spirit. And you know, if you take further, just chapter 15 of John, verse 16, Jesus said that if you love one another, and if you come together and believed in all that I have said to you, you can ask anything in my name, and I will do that to you. That is John 15, 16. That is what Jesus says to his disciples. He says to them, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, the Holy Spirit. And then he went on to say this. Great love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Whatever you ask in my name. These people, they needed to do everything right, so that whenever they go out to proclaim the gospel, they will be successful, because they have put everything right with God, as they recognize that there are people who have no power on their own chosen, and also have shown really the way how to live as witnesses, because they were talking about something they have seen, something they have experienced, the love of God, that Jesus came into this world to save us and to die on the cross of Calvary, and we have seen his death, and now the Holy Spirit that he has promised also has come to us. And as we come together, we will be very strong. And I want to give you a bonus, because you have been good listeners. One more point. So I didn't want to do this. But we need to be together so that our prayers could be answered also. You remember last week when these people were they came together, Peter and John, when they came together and they joined with the rest of the body. And the Bible says together. These people together, when they heard this, the intimidations of the leaders of the temples and the Romans empires and those people. So they, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They pray together. So when they pray together, so as people who are united, one body, who are being together, there is power in their prayers, and God is pleased, and God really shook. We have seen the place as declaring that I've heard your prayers, and because these people, they prayed, the three things I mentioned, I wish you remember them, to enable us to speak with boldness that was given to them, to stretch his arm also to accompany the word with miracles, declaring that we are truly from God, and now you cannot stand. I'm not against miracles, and we shouldn't be, because if truly they are done by the Holy Spirit, they will accomplish the purpose for which God has sent them. That was the subject. That is what really makes these people so powerful. They pray together. So when we come together, we can pray prayers that are so effective. So that is why there are prayer meetings in the church. Today, we cannot replace these realities. If these things are not there completely, I can assure you that we will struggle. Because God has chosen his body as a means by which he can pour out his blessings and he can hear our prayers. You can pray on your own, that is fine. But the prayers that bring revival is a prayer that is prayed really with like-minded people, and with people who recognize that they are not anything but chosen and brought together to be part of the body of Christ that he wants to use here and now. When I was traveling in 2019, you know that in my life I had two important mentors who have influenced my life once and for all. So one of them I met. I had a meeting with him after 22 years. I met him briefly a few times, but that time I had a meeting. And he was a monk in the monastery, and he was deposed from that position. He was excommunicated from the Coptic Church because people were running to his weekly meeting every week as he preaches the word of God. He dwells on the word, and God was accompanying his ministry with great fruits and power of the Holy Spirit. He was writing books, and they will just finish like that. They were suspicious because he was declaring that salvation is found in no other way and is by grace and grace alone. So when I met him and I asked him, how can we have revival? And he said to me, if you can only find two people or three people and to pray regularly together, you will have a breakthrough. That is the secret of a man who has been walking with God, who was nearly killed when he was a student in university in Upper Egypt because he was active among the students sharing the gospel. He was hit and a big scar was left. He can only look properly through one eye. The other one is still, he can use it. But you could see the effect of the hit that was brought on him. That was simply, men of God recognize this. Without these prayers, that is prayer together as a body of Christ, we cannot have great answers from God. And that is a challenge for us today. And that is what real disciples were trying to show us, that they didn't run anywhere else. They didn't go to their families. They came to those who believed. They came to the body of Christ because they know the power lies with this body. The power is with this one because of the things that I have said earlier. To finish off, these are very important. You need to remember them, that this body is chosen by God himself, not for everybody to be on his own, but to be together if we are ever going to be a true witness. And we will lack nothing, not finance to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we will languish in every aspect if we are not to live by the principle that's set out here for us in the word of God. If we would want to write our own religion, if we would want to just want to do everything at the levels of board of management and deacons and everything, all the committees in the church, bypassing these things, even the session, the truth of God is the foundation, is the map for us to be powerful and to be truly, not just powerful and bold in a bad sense, but even gentle and humble and yet powerful like the apostles themselves, realizing that you have been made who you are, not because you are clever, it's because there is this living God. In his grace and mercy, he was pleased enough to share his mercy with us and to endow us with the knowledge of him that we can truly share with others as a living testimony that I have been touched by God. Have you been touched by Christ? Do you have a testimony? Have you been saved? Are your sins forgiven? Do you rejoice in the forgiveness of God that he has extended to you? Do you do that? Why would you not want to recognize the fact that you have been chosen for a noble purpose? Why you would want to look to yourself and not look to the one who has declared you to be who you are today? So let us cease from labeling ourselves. I was talking to this young man that we are trying to encourage in Sudan. He is from Shuluk. Just imagine, Shuluk tribe. And this boy, he was just on the streets, really drinking and so forth. And there was this elder man, godly man from Nuer tribe, from which I come from. And this man, he just went and embraced this boy. He would bring him to his house and share the gospel with. And he would run away again. He would just go and bring him until God really took hold of this young man. And he was completely transformed. And I taught him 5 years ago at Theological College in Khartoum. This man, he went to a part in northern Sudan and he started a powerful ministry I talked of the other day. Just imagine, this boy, all he could see and know, the joy that is in his heart and the testimony that he had that the Lord God has transformed his life. He has a true testimony. And guess what? Then so he is working because he was growing up in the Nuer congregation. You see, he was Shuluk. And they don't have a pastor. So he started really different places. And you know, jealousy came there. And they want to stop him from what he was doing. And they asked him to go and be with the Shuluk, you see, by the Nuer people. And then thankfully, the man who was just his mentor, who used to come and who brought him to the Lord and brought him to his house, he was like 100 kilometers from that place. This man, he would come every month to encourage this young man. When he heard that this young man, he was being stopped for 3 weeks not to minister and to go to his own people, he traveled. And last night I had a conference with them on phone. Amanuel, this man who is standing by this Shuluk boy, is a Nuer and this Shuluk man. But we are not Nuer and Shuluk. We are children of the Most High God who have a testimony. And I said to this man, and this man is still there today encouraging this young man. And he came and he called a meeting. He spoke to his Nuer people in their language. And he told them that we are followers of Christ. This young man, God is in his life. And the work that he is doing is to bring glory to God. And he's expanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these are the like-minded people from every tribe and tongues. And these are the ones who will promote and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So today, this is the freedom we have in the Lord. And there is tribalism in Africa, but not every person is tribal. Those who have been truly, who have a testimony, they will stand and they might be killed first by their own people. Let it be, because this testimony is true, is tangible, is a reality, has transformed us. And when I was preparing, I thought I was going to lie down and say, to demonstrate to you that the word of God has laid us down on the floor, on the ground, and just reached us and healed us and transformed us. That is the word of God. That is his work. So you need to be clear in your mind. You need to be clear in your heart that you have been called and chosen for a wonderful work that God is waiting for you to do. And even as a prayer, it's not the least. The prayer that brings down the power of God is there for those who will recognize that they have been brought together. So you see how important it is for us to be together. You see how it is important to be together. And every time I have trouble is when I cannot find even a single man to have one mind, to have one heart to pray with. Just imagine. It's the nightmare, is the worst experience I can ever experience. To have no one to pray with in a spirit, and you call yourself a body of Christ. How about that? We are completely defeated if this is not the reality. And we will be spending time. You know, you can have pains as much as you want. You see, you can have problems like us the world would want. But to be robbed of these realities, of having the power of God penetrating, that is our nightmare. We are not the chosen. We are not the body. We are testimonies. So weak and cannot challenge the world. But I thank God that today he wants us to hear such a message like this, so that we regroup again and put aside our differences and go about this business, because we live once. Because the Bible says man is destined to live once, and after that, he is waiting only a judgment. That is Hebrews 9:27. That is our ample opportunity. While we are still here, some of us even are fading away. But seize the opportunity. Take every moment and use it. And so we may lament the time that's gone by with no much fruit. Maybe we need to repent. And I want you today to join me in penitence, to repent where we have deserted our prayer meetings. And so we come together, maybe 40 minutes, and we spend it talking, even not praying. That is not how the church can stand, especially in the Western world. That is so comfortable. That has a lot of money, a lot of education, comfort. See the mansion that are being built there. People are just living like angels, isn't it? But are they really angels? They be angels of of what? You see? So that is, we shouldn't be like that. But if we don't have the fire of the Holy Spirit in us and the truth of God shining before us, we will go asleep. Let us not be of those. Let us stir up one another. Let us spur one another. I need this myself. I need to be shaken. And you need to be shaken too. Where are you standing? Where are you today? Can I find you? Can I pray with you? Can we bring down the presence of God? Can we help one another? Can we love one another? Sometimes we see, maybe most of the time, and we see each other only on Sunday. That is not how we can have the power of God maximized. I know people are busy. We have responsibilities to attend to. But even our responsibilities, we will not enjoy them. We will not really succeed in them until we reverse the order and put it right first with God. we need to be together so that our prayers could be answered. Maybe the reason that our prayers are not being answered, we haven't taken them to a place where they should be answered.